You are listening to the Meet Us in Buellton podcast, part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network.
Hi, everyone. Today we have Deborah Eagle joining us. She is the general manager at Omarosa Winery, and we're so excited to have her here with us and learn more about Omarosa Winery. Hi, Deborah.
Hi, Kathy. Hi, Mackenzie.
Awesome, Deborah. Well, thanks for joining us. Can you just start off by giving us a little introduction about yourself and the winery?
Well, let me start with Omarosa Winery. We were founded by one of California's wine pioneers, Richard Sanford. Richard was the first to plant Pinot Noir in what is now called the Santa Rita Hills Appellation back in 1971. I've had a long career of working with California wine pioneers. I began my career in 1994. I worked with Robert Mondavi himself in Napa Valley. I also worked with Bill Harlan in Napa Valley, and I'm very, very pleased to have an opportunity to work with Richard Sanford.
Thanks so much, Deborah. That's a great introduction about you and Omarosa. Kind of a first question I have is, what makes Omarosa so unique? We know this is kind of a prominent wine country here where it's located, but what makes this winery unique from others?
Well, what I think is unique about us is the focus on the finesse of the wine and the balance. Our wines are very much terroir-driven, and Richard did a lot of experimentation early in his career with barrel aging and fermentation and so on to kind of strike the right balance where the wines express the terroir. And that's what really made him settle here. He has a degree in geography from UC Berkeley. And after the Vietnam War, he wanted to settle in a part of the country where he could sort of heal his wounds and wanted to pursue his fascination with growing wine, drinking wine. And what made him settle in this particular region of the world was what we have is a transverse mountain range, the only one in the Americas, that funnels the winds directly inland off of the Pacific Ocean. It runs west-east. All of the other mountain ranges along the west coast of the Americas run north-south. And what that allows is for us in this relatively hot climate area to grow Burgundian grape varietals and express what's best, the best of the terroir in the region. So I think that we do an excellent job of capturing this special terroir, which is driven by that transverse mountain range and is really the reason Richard settled here way back in 1971.
Wow, that's unique. And I think that's so important for listeners to understand the story because that sounds like what makes it a unique winery compared to others in the Valley. Thank you. One thing that I was kind of interested to learn more about is kind of the sustainable and organic farming practices used at Omarosa. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, and this has changed somewhat over the years, but Richard's first vineyard at the Omarosa Ranch was planted in 1983. It later became the first certified organic vineyard in Santa Barbara County. That original vineyard we sadly had to pull out after the 2019 harvest because of Pierce's disease, which is a disease that grapes can get. And we have, however, planted and we're planting already additional acreage. We have a total today of 38 acres planted across five non-contiguous parcels that go from the valley floor, where the original 8 acres were, up into the mountainside. Today, we have some of the blocks dedicated to organic farming methods and some to sustainable methods. That has a lot to do with the challenges of farming and dealing with mildew and other issues that come up as we increase in elevation and the temperatures become cooler. But Richard and Tekla Sanford have always been dedicated to sustainable farming, organic farming, and we're continuing that legacy, though not on every plot.
Wow, that's very unique. Great.
I think it's really interesting, Deborah, and I know Richard has such a rich history here in our region, especially the Santa Rita Hills wine growing region, and it's just a unique story. We love to share it here at the Visitor Center with our tourists, too, to kind of explain that whole topography and why those grapes grow so well here. So I think it just makes for just such a unique story. And like you say, it's the only one in the Americas that run east to west. So we really do have a unique story to tell. And And I think he's just been so influential and instrumental in putting this region on the map for this type of wine that we have in Santa Rita Hills and in our valley. So it's just really great, Deborah. And I've had a chance to sit down with you too. And I learn as we go all the time about what we have going on here. But maybe you can take us a little bit through the process of producing the wines that you have there at Omarosa and maybe the different wine selections that you offer.
Well, we offer predominantly Pinot Noir. 22 of our 38 acres are Pinot Noir. We also make Pinot Noir from other vineyards along the Santa Rosa Road where we're located. And this is the southern boundary of the Santa Rita Hills Appellation. So we make a Pinot Noir from La Encantada, which Richard planted in 2000. We make a Pinot Noir from Bent Rock and Radian, which is in the far western end of this particular road. We also make one from Rancho Lavinia. We make Chardonnay from our estate, and we have 11 acres of Chardonnay. That's proving to be rather challenging as we plant up the hill. We've had some real challenges with mildew. The valley floor Chardonnay was easier to farm. And we also, at the top of our estate, the highest, I should say, not the estate, but the highest planted vineyard on our estate is 5 acres, half Syrah and half Grenache. So we're making Syrah and Grenache as well. And we make a Syrah Grenache blend. I forget the rest of your question. What was that?
Yeah, no, that's good. Just about the process of producing the wines.
I don't think there's anything particularly unique. We harvest at night. We actually will harvest some Pinot Noir and Chardonnay on Monday. We plan for sparkling. We don't anticipate the harvesting for the rest of the grapes for another few weeks. Of course, we're waiting for ripeness. My team is from Napa, where I've spent most of my career, and my winemaker is as well. So we are approaching things maybe a little bit different. We are picking the fruit a little bit later than many of our neighbors, so I guess that's a difference. When we bring it into the winery, of course, we are, well, not of course, we use a sorting table to sort through the grapes. So we only try to ferment the best fruit. We pull out leaves, twigs, raisined fruit that we don't want to have in the hopper, so to speak, in the fermentation tanks. So we sort our fruit. It ferments for a couple of weeks on average, and then we age it. So we do have different fermentation vessels. We use stainless steel tanks. We use open wooden tanks, and we use small bins, depending on the size of the lot. We ferment each grape lot separately, and we also age it in French oak separately. So we keep all of these lots separate for about a year, before we determine how we want to blend, even from the same, you know, let's say we take fruit from Bent Rock and we pick it in two or three lots, we will keep those three lots separate. We won't combine them for many months, and then we'll wait to see how they're developing in the cellar before we make a blend. So I don't think that's particularly different, but we are fermenting at higher temperatures. That gives us greater extraction from the fruit. And with red wine, that also produces darker colors. That is fairly unusual in this region. It's very common in Northern California. But again, we're going for finesse and balance. We are also not aging our wines perhaps as long as others. Our Chardonnays are very flinty, fresh, and that's really reflective of the region. Personally, I'm not a Chardonnay fan, but I love the Chardonnays that this region produces. That cool climate, beautiful minerality that comes through in Chardonnay is really present in our particular wines as well. The Pinot Noir, we're probably using 40% new French oak, so that's a fairly low number, 30 to 40%. We're trying to, again, create wines of great balance that reflect the terroir, but we are also trying not to overpower our wines with oak flavors.
Right. You know, on the Pinot, I know sometimes here we'll explain it as the diva of the wine grape, but I think, and you can maybe confirm this, but we've always been told that it's the, you know, it has a longer hang time here in this region, just kind of due to the climate that we have and the way that the topography is. Does it Is that true? Like it has a longer hang time and that just allows it to produce the flavors that we get from our Pinot Noir?
I know that can be true. I mean, I am from Northern California, and this particular year, I still have a family home in Sonoma, and I've really been comparing the weather between this region and Sonoma County. And I mean, we had freezing temperatures from November through April. Every morning we were at or near freezing. The weather in Northern California in the Pinot Noir and Chardonnay growing regions has been much, much warmer for, you know, the entire year. So I've really been looking at that. That will result, yes, in longer hang times. I can't say definitively that that is true every year, but it's been fascinating for me to really observe that this year. We undoubtedly will be on the vine a little bit longer than probably most of our Northern California counterparts.
Interesting that we get cooler through the winter months than up there, but I guess it's just we're so close to the ocean, probably. Maybe those cool breezes are coming in versus Sonoma County?
I can't really explain that. I mean, you know what I'm talking about, those freezing temperatures we had? And it wasn't like that in Northern California at all. And it was really almost 7 months. I was waking up because I take a walk through town.
All right.
And it was, you know, 32, 36.
It was chilly. It can get down.
For months and months and months. And that has actually affected our Grenache. So Grenache in the region is, you know, it didn't flower as well because of these extended cool temperatures. And we're actually far less Grenache off of our ranch than we had hoped to.
Interesting. So, yeah, they're probably dormant.
I'd like to share that Richard refers to our climate here. You know, you can stand here on a hot day, but be somewhere, you know, on a hill somewhere, and that wind comes through. It kicks up in the afternoon, starts usually around 2 o'clock, and it's really kind of what saves the day, so to speak. But Richard calls it refrigerated sunshine.
Yeah, that's our air conditioning here.
I think it's a great descriptor, and it's a dynamic I'm not familiar with in, you know, the area where I've spent most of my career, because that wind is bracing. And so it's hot, but the wind's cold. So
yeah, interesting.
Wow. Yeah. It's interesting to hear about how the weather can affect all of that so much. Those were great questions you were asking too, Kathy. I think that gives our listeners a great idea of the whole process. I kind of wanted to move into a little bit about the tasting room. You know, our listeners want to come to Almarosa. So can you tell us a little bit about the tasting room and what their experience is like there?
Well, we have two tasting venues for the public who want to visit. We have a beautiful tasting room in downtown Buellton. It's been open since 2014. It's beautiful. It's got big glass doors. We have a small patio outside. During the pandemic, we've had some outdoor seating also kind of extending into the parking lot. Lots of natural woods, ancient forest wood that Richard brought down from Washington State many years ago. So it's a really beautiful, beautiful furnishings that we've had made for us. We also invite people to visit us at our ranch. We do private tastings there by appointment. People can phone or go online to make those appointments. And generally speaking, in both locations, you'll have a selection of 5 wines to taste. And we try to mix it up, you know, throughout the month. We try to change it at least a couple of times. So, you know, depending on what's available, we do run out of some of our wines. Some of our wines we can't quite keep in the entire year. Right now, we have a big focus on rosés. We have Grenache rosé and a Vin Gris, which is a rosé from Pinot Noir, both from the estate. We have a very bright, minerally Chardonnay and a couple of Pinot Noirs. So it changes throughout the year. At the ranch house, those wines are served with a fantastic cheese plate. And by request, we can do vineyard tours. It's a very hilly property. And I personally have only, on an impromptu basis, invited somebody to climb the mountain with me. It was a young couple from Maryland. I'm a big hiker, but I find that most people really aren't up for that kind of tour. And I will say, you know, we actually just had a fundraiser for mental health, and that was on July 24th. We invited people to walk from the base of our property up to the Syrah vineyard that I talked about at the top, back down to our ranch house that was just over 4 miles. We call it Peace of Mind, 10,000 Steps in the Right Direction. It benefited 2 mental health organizations, 1 local in Santa Barbara County, 1 that funds research around the world, and we were able to raise $180,000.
That's awesome.
Having said that, despite my very clear descriptions to everybody about what it takes to walk through the property, you know, a lot of people weren't really up for the whole thing. So yeah. You know, when we get an ambitious group of very fit people, we're happy to offer walks. It doesn't come up that often.
It's a beautiful property. We've had the chance to get out on the vineyard and I've experienced your tasting room as well. And they're both just first class, and you'll have a wonderful experience either one you choose. Is it reservations? I know a lot of wineries switched to reservations, Deborah, during the pandemic, but
no, not at the tasting room.
Right.
It is not. We're open every day. At this time of year, 5:30 during the weekdays, Sunday through Thursday, and 6 p.m. Friday, Saturday, or maybe it's Thursday, Friday, Saturday till 6 p.m. No reservations. The ranch house is by reservation. It's a private property. We have to give people directions how to get there. But the tasting room in downtown Buellton is open and it's very conveniently located, only a few minutes off of Highway 101.
Right. It's in a beautiful area. No, it's a great experience. And like you described it really well with the woods, and you're kind of bringing the outdoors in, and it's just really, really very pretty and relaxing.
Yeah. Thank you.
What's your favorite part about the tasting experience, Kathy?
You know, and I'm not a huge connoisseur. I'll admit that right up front. I love wines. I don't mind them. I'm not a huge connoisseur, so I'm always learning. And I love meetings like this and talking to people in the industry because I learn all the time. And being at the visitor center, I like to learn and know. I don't want to just say things that I have no idea what I'm talking about. So I like to learn and know more about it so I can explain the experience. And I've definitely partaken in it too. It's just, you know, for me, it's just all the flights and just the different tastes and I don't know if you call it flavors, but just the different tastes that you get from all of the different varietals. And just when you're working with the person that's pouring for you and their knowledge in it and explaining, you know, what you're pulling from each taste or each type of wine, it's just always very interesting to me. And you try to find those flavors. They're very good at explaining it. And sometimes I have to really work it around my palate to go, okay, I don't know if I'm feeling that or if I'm getting that, but it's always a learning experience for me. And they do produce some really wonderful wines, and Almarosa's, it's on the top of our choices here. They produce some wonderful wines for our region. So we're proud to help promote them.
You know, and Kathy, you started that comment with, well, I'm not really a connoisseur. And I have to say that as an industry, we in the wine business haven't done a good job of letting people be comfortable and not worry about being a connoisseur. It's probably something you would never say about beer, right? So I would hope that in our tasting room or at our ranch, people feel that they can learn something about wine, but not be uncomfortable or intimidated by a lack of information. I've been in the business a long time. I'm not a connoisseur either. I would hope that people don't feel uncomfortable or that there are any expectations. At the end of the day, it's if you like it, you like it. And, you know, what people enjoy can change over time if they taste wine a lot or buy wine a lot. But we try to meet people where they're at and not overburden them with technical information.
Yeah, no, I think you guys do a great job. And a lot of the tasting rooms in the industry do, because we all started somewhere, right? And I think we all remember that. And so it's just nice to work people through that process and just teach them. And I think that's a big part of everything is just the education in it and what we can learn about it. And you appreciate it a little bit more when you know what goes into it, I think, too.
Yes, that's true.
Good. Well, I'm so happy that you want everyone to feel comfortable. And I think that's good for our listeners to hear as well, that everyone's welcome. You don't need to know everything about the process or be a connoisseur, like you've said. I know that you guys have been doing virtual tours, Deborah. Is that still something going on right now?
On a request basis. So, for example, there's a pharmaceutical company who has a representative living in the Valley, and that company is across the country. And we've done at by request, because it's been a way for them to kind of join up and meet each other. We've done a couple of virtual tastings for them recently. But for the most part, the request for those things has kind of, fallen off. We will do a virtual tasting for our wine club members. They'll have a fall shipment in late September, early October. And we intend to have a wine club event at our estate. And for those who choose not to come or who can't make it for some reason, we will do what we will for sure continue is, you know, virtual tastings for our club members for these, you know, for new releases. But the public demand has tapered off quite a bit, though we're happy to do them.
Mm-hmm. Great. And how can you join the Heritage Collective Wine Club?
Well, generally people join when they visit us, either in the tasting room or at the ranch, but anyone can pick up the phone to phone us or even join us online. We have a 6-bottle club and a 12-bottle club. Our shipments are only twice a year. We do have a summer option. People can purchase wines, a smaller shipment in the summer. And we do have what we call add-ons for the holidays. There's no fee to join. They do receive a 20% discount on wines, and they do generally have access to wines before anyone else does. We only make 5,500 cases. Most of the wines that we produce, we're producing in 400 or fewer case lots, which is pretty small, very boutique in that regard. So in many cases, the only way that, you know, really the only way you can get our wines is to visit us or purchase them online. So this does help people who are particularly interested in Almarosa Winery to have access to the wines. We have limited distribution of two wines that we don't generally show in the tasting room, and they are the Santa Rita Hills Chardonnay and the Santa Rita Hills Pinot Noir. And our distribution is pretty limited. It's primarily in Southern California, a little bit in Texas, a little bit in Colorado, you know, Michigan, just a few places.
Wow, so it sounds like you get some great perks when you join the club then. That sounds fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we try to create events for people and obviously, like many clubs do, and that's been challenging in this last year, but we do have a winemaker dinner coming up on August 28th, and most of the people coming are wine club members. Not exclusively, but most of them are wine club members.
All right, perfect. Well, let's end the episode with our favorite question. Besides, obviously, Almarosa Winery and the tasting room in Buellton, what's your favorite thing about Buellton, Deborah?
What's my favorite thing about Buellton? Well, my daughter lives there, so.
Awesome.
My winemaker lives there. It's a nice family community, and actually, I did just help my daughter buy a condominium there. She has two young children. And I think that she really appreciates the family-centered, family-oriented community. And so I appreciate that.
Awesome.
Well, that's great. Thanks so much again for joining us today, Deborah. We've loved learning about Almarosa Winery. It's a wonderful place to visit, so don't miss it when you go to Buellton. As always, we want to thank all of our listeners. Don't forget to leave us a rating or review. Have a great day. This has been another episode of the Meet Us in Buellton podcast, part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network, hosted by Mackenzie Felstead and Kathy Vreeland, and produced by Rob.